All right, here we go. I have some sad news. Real sad news. No joke. Last Tuesday, April 21st, Brother Dick Eastman, who does all this material, passed away. He was 82 years old, went home to be with the Lord. And the guy has impacted my life a lot, and I've never met him. That's wild when you never meet someone in our time of living even together as far as the same time frame. We never, they were so impactful on me. So, yeah, he passed away a week ago Tuesday, and he's with the Lord in glory. And so just wanted to share that with you real quickly here. And we're talking about the hour that changed the world. We're finishing up on that study here, practical prayer life, lesson 14 of them. And then we'll be starting, I don't know if we'll start next Wednesday or the following Wednesday, with the study on the last 10 weeks of the Power Series. The Power Series is an interesting study, and when we get to it, you'll see what I'll be sharing with you, some things there, and explaining some things in that study. Tonight, we're looking at 7 keys to cultivating a consistent commitment for daily prayer. 7 keys to cultivating a consistent commitment to daily prayer. You see, a lot of times we have sporadic praying, but we are not consistently committed to a daily time. And so let's go ahead and ask God's help on this lesson here, and then we'll get right into this lesson. Father, add your blessing now. Meet with us and pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, would show each of us individually what we need to hear. And Lord, may we see the need to cultivate a consistency of committing daily time every single day to you in prayer. And we'll be sure to give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. It starts off here with a call to the wall. This is something that Dick Eastman established where he is and was in Colorado. And I'll explain it a little bit later here. But what he calls it is not just a call to the wall. He believes it is the power of continuous prayer. The power of continuous prayer. In Scripture, we always began with our verse there in Luke 18:1. And Jesus is talking here, and he spake. Jesus is speaking here, a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give in, not to give up, not to quit. And the key word you want to look at here is ought always. Ought always simply means that which is necessary. God is telling you and I tonight that prayer is something that should be necessary, that we understand is needed. It is needed. It is essential. It is crucial. It is urgent. Those are all synonyms to what he's saying here. He's not just suggesting us to do this or saying, hey, if you get a chance to do this. He says this is necessary in your life and the people that you want to see God do things through. If you're not praying for them, who is? And so it's very important as we look at this, cultivating a consistent commitment. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. He says, I have, God speaking, I have set watchmen, plural, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Folks, let me ask you a question tonight. When you look at our day and age in which we're living, and you look over into the Middle East, and you come to a little country called Israel, and you come to a little city called Jerusalem, which God told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that God would bless those who pray for that. Let me ask you this. According to Isaiah, he says that we are to continue to not sleep, not let this go away, not be quiet, not to keep silent, not to give, don't give God even any rest until he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Is Jerusalem a praise in the earth right now? Is Jerusalem a praise in the earth right now?
No,
she's not. So we aren't supposed to stop praying then. He says, you don't quit praying. You don't keep being a watchman on the wall for the people of this world in particular about the need of salvation and praying globally. Why do we take missions globally but not prayer? A lot of times we just pray our little circle instead of going out. That's why we have the prayer maps, the world prayer maps. And so he's showing here that until this is happening, I tell you, when there's Jerusalem is being praised, there will be no more need for prayer. Because Christ, the Prince of Peace, will be here and has established his kingdom of righteousness. This is interesting. This is here in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9, and then we'll jump over to verse 12 and 13. I have in here, just for myself, after reading this verse, I just put under there in brackets, a higher level of prayer. God is telling Moses, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering. Why? Because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay burnt offering in order upon it. And it shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Remember, understand something that's very important. He's not talking about the altar of incense. He's talking about the altar that was out in the tabernacle court. That they were to keep that fire constantly going. And that doesn't mean necessarily a blaze of fire. It means that there should be always hot coals there that can be ignited. And he says that should never, ever, ever go out. Why? Because if it goes out, they have no coals to take into the holy place to light the incense, which is the prayers of the saints. If that goes out, that doesn't continue. That's higher level praying. Because what are we doing out here? We're sacrificing. And folks, for you to keep the fire going of sacrificial living, of this commitment to daily prayer, for that to happen in that time where you can go to the throne of grace because you're keeping that altar of incense going, is going to take sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time. Sacrifice of your commitment. Sacrifice of whatever it takes that doesn't interrupt you having a committed time every single day with God in prayer. He should be the most important thing in our lives, correct? And would he be able to measure how important he is to you based upon our prayers? My dad never really set any biblical examples for me growing up, all right? But when he got saved, that guy prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and he was a new convert. And I've shared this before. There was a time that he was in his room because we were taking care of him with his cancer, and he had gone blind and was just in bad health. And he'd be out there talking away. I just went, Dad, do you need something? He said, No, I'm just praying. And he always prayed out loud. I'm just praying. And then he says, you know what, Kevin, I learned something. Now, this is coming from a new convert. I learned something. I thought, well, what'd you learn? He goes, I learned that I'd pray and I'd say in Jesus' name, and I'd pray another prayer during the daytime and I'd say in Jesus' name, and I'd pray another prayer and I'd pray in Jesus' name. He goes, I realized I was praying a lot of little prayers, but they were actually continual prayers. So he goes, I just decided, Lord, I'm not going to say, and I pray this in Jesus' name until the end of the day because I'm talking with God all day long. What an example for me. I don't care if I never had any other example of Christianity from my dad except for that. Continually praying. He wasn't letting the fire on the altar go out of sacrifice because he needed it going to keep the prayers lifted. And some of us are not willing to keep the fire of sacrifice going. We have let the fire go out in our life, in our homes. And no wonder we don't have that power, that next level of power in prayer. That's why when we read some of these great men, Andrew Murray, and that talk about their prayer life, they kept a fire going, which many of us don't. And so we don't even understand what they're talking about because we've never experienced that level. I came up with a verse here that you all know. I could probably have most of you quote it. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, right, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But what happens before that peace happening? Verse number 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. So many times, there are Christians that have little to no peace. You know why? Little to no prayer and praise that preceded that. Now, I have done something, and I'm not here to promote anybody or anything, but I've taken this verse in verse number 6, and I've named that verse. I put a name on verse number 6. A person's name. A person's name that's in this room. You know what that verse is named, what I named that? I call it my Vonda verse. I do. See, if your name would have started with the V, I might have used yours, right? But that's not the reason why I did it. I learned all of a sudden as I'm reading that verse over and over and over, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, I understand that, and supplication, I understand, and this is with thanksgiving. Well, when we were praying for Don and Helen's car to start, and it wouldn't start, it would start, and I was even, let me get in there, and I'll start, I'm the preacher. Lord, I pray you bless this thing. You know, and Vonda's out there, and she's saying, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to start their car. She offered thanksgiving with it. That car started up on the next turnover. Got them all the way home. Thank you, Vonda. That's a Vonda verse. There should be thanksgiving with not only the request, but you're thanking him for already in advance that it's going to happen. The fire, he says here, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Go down to Leviticus 24. Look at verse number 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command. Notice he's commanding. He's commanding Aaron and his son. Now he's commanding the children of Israel. What is he going to command them? That they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually without the veil of the testimony. That's the seven candles, golden candlestick. And in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlesticks before the Lord continually. There are things that God does not want to stop in our lives. There are things that God does not want to stop in your life and my life. But there is Satan who wants those things to stop in your life. Who's winning? Who are we yielding to? Because it will tell you, James says, submit. The word submit means hupotasso. It means to come underneath. It says submit to God. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, if you are not submitting to God, if you're staying up here, then you can't resist the devil because you're in the flesh and the devil is not going to leave you. He's going to stay there and continue to get you. So there are things that God's showing that has to be continued for the people in leadership as Aaron and his sons, but also among the children of Israel, the people. Look over on the next page here, page 74. We have a quote from E.M. Bounds, a great man. This is really interesting. Listen to what he says. Fire is the motivating power in prayer. By the way, you remember when Elijah prayed? And after he was done praying, what came down? Fire. Remember when Solomon was praying to dedicate the temple? When he was done praying, what came down? Fire came down and consumed the altar there too. Elijah wasn't the only one. He says fire is the motivating power in prayer. We need to have the live coal from God's altar in our hearts. The flame is not mental power or fleshly energy. It is the very being of the Spirit of God. Prayer ascends by fire. There is no incense without fire, no prayer without flame. Wow, that's some good thoughts, folks. You're being instructed by a great man that's not even here. Here is a thing that's called Keepers of the Flame, a case for continual prayer. I like how Brother Eastman titles some of these things. Keepers of the Flame, a case for continual prayer. The example of David's tent, known as the Tabernacle of David. Look what the scripture says in 1 Chronicles 16:37. So he, David, left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren. Why? To minister before the Ark continually as every day's work required. Every day's work required. What? Could you not pray with me 1 hour? Required prayer. It's a command that we should be doing these things. I'm trying to think of a verse. I almost had it and I lost it here. We talked about his commands are not grievous. I'll think of it here in a minute. Look at the word, underline that word continually under 1 Chronicles 16. To minister before the ark continually as every day's work required. The word continual prayer here, the definition, they use the Hebrew word tamid, meaning regularly, or here's your blank, constantly. Constantly. When you read that word continually, it's meaning that you're going to do this regularly or constantly. Tamid literally means to stretch. You're stretching yourself. You're doing something beyond yourself because it has to be the Spirit of God that's doing it. So you have the word constantly and you have the word stretch. Here is taken from Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old Testament Words. It says, tamid signifies what is to be done regularly or continuously without interruption. Without interruption. One of these days, when I get to it, that's how we are, isn't it? My wife has already gotten to it. I want to have my own prayer closet. Now, I was tempted when she was gone this last time. I was tempted because sometimes I'll go over there and I'll open up her little closet and I'll look around what she's got, her wall all covered with stuff for prayer and people and world map and all those different things. And I thought, she's not here using this thing. Maybe I'll just come in here and use it. Because she said the first time that she got that thing all set up, you can walk into it, but she said it's not until you shut the door. Remember Jesus says when you go into your closet, when you shut the door, something happens there. And I thought, I'm going to go in there and do that. And then I thought, I better not. I probably will defile that place. I need my own. So one of these days I'll have my own. But I think it's a cool thing. I think if you had your own, and I'm not saying you have to have a prayer closet, but he does use that as an illustration, talking about having a secluded place so that you don't have interruptions. You don't take your phone into your prayer time. If somebody wants to get a hold of you and they don't, they will try again. Amen? Don't let your time with the Lord be interrupted. I'm going to say something that's not even in our notes. And I'll probably get myself in trouble here, all right? Will you all forgive me in advance? How many of you think when we get to heaven, And we're in a glorifying worship service taking place, spectacular. Are you with me on this? That you're going to get up and walk out because you got something else you got to go do. Anything, if you're in a church service, unless you got bad bladder, which you can have, or you don't feel good and you're going to throw up, go, please leave, you know. But if we are getting up for something that is less significant than prayer or the word, we're getting up for the wrong reason. I just thought I'd throw that out there, amen? There was a lady sitting on the front row. And the preacher was up there preaching away, and she's going, preach it. She said it nice, loud, and clear. And then he got to preaching on chewing tobacco because she chewed. And he started preaching on chewing tobacco. And she goes, well, the preacher went from preaching to meddling. There's a difference of preaching and meddling. You know what it is? Meddling is when it's hitting you. When it's stepping on, when the Lord's stepping on your shoes. That's meddling, all right? Acts 15, verse 16 and 17. He's after this, and by the way, James is speaking here. It's the Apostle James. He's referencing, he's actually referencing back to Old Testament. That's all they had was Old Testament. So he's referencing back to Old Testament, and he's referencing back to the Old Testament book of Amos. Listen to what he says in Acts 15, 16, and 17. After this, the Lord is speaking. He's talking about what the Lord's saying. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. We're talking about here David's tabernacle, David's tent. He's before the ark, all of that stuff, and by the time it gets around to Amos, it's no longer there. And God's talking about that he will return to them. He will build it again. He will set it up. And he tells that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. I wonder if God's trying to rebuild something here tonight. In a residue of men who will begin to seek after the Lord. Because something was lost along the way when it come to David's time to where they are in the book of Amos. And I think that things have been lost somewhere along the way from the day of the early church in Acts than there is today. Wouldn't it be sad to be guilty of losing effectual, fervent prayer in your life, but also exciting that even though you have, God's speaking to you right now and saying, I can restore this. Now, I want you to notice in these verses, he says, I will return. I will build. I will set up. I will build again. You can sit there and say, I haven't had a prayer life. I've got to get doing that again. No, you don't. That's why you failed the first time. Praying always in the Spirit. If you don't ask God, Lord, I have fallen short like they did in the days of Amos, and I want to be the residue that you reestablish, that you build. Would you do that for me? He will do it. He's more than ready to do it. That's what he's crying out for. Seven keys for becoming a keeper of the flame, a call to the wall. Key number one, page number 75. Let me take a quick swig here. First blank, recognize. Recognize the critical necessity of maintaining, here's your next blank, a daily prayer habit. Recognize the critical necessity of maintaining a daily prayer habit. In other words, remember what we talked about to keep the hot coals of fire burning at the incense? You have to keep the fire going on the altar of sacrifice. You may have to sacrifice temporal things for the eternal. Are you willing to do that? Can you be like Isaiah when the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah's going, "Here am I. Send me." Are you willing to say, "Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice if you'll help me, if you'll do it through me"? Look at the scripture in 1 Samuel 12:23. Very important scripture here. "Moreover, as for me," Samuel says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Samuel says, "I'm going to teach you the good and right way," and it is you need to understand that without your prayer life, you are living in sin by not praying. "I'm not committing adultery. I'm not killing people. I'm not stealing. I'm not this or that." Are you praying? "Oh, I don't have much of a prayer life." You're in sin. That's scripture, folks. That's not me. That's scripture. You say, "Well, I pray a little." Well, you can add a little leaven to your lump too, huh? A little leaven, leaven at the whole thing. Understand that here you got a lump of bread. If you even put required to make a loaf, if you put leaven in it, the whole thing's going to be like you want. But if you put, you want it to keep it unleavened, which leaven always represents sin in the Bible, even if you put a little pinch in there, it might not bloat it, but it still has affected it and it's not pure. It's still sin. Samuel's saying that it is a sin. Listen, it is a sin if we aren't praying for each other. So you can be guilty of sin, but not living in ungodliness, if I can use that term. If we can kind of try to use that as a line. You're just not living godly either. That puts you in the area of lukewarm, which God says, "That makes me sick. I got to spit that out." Oops, sorry about that. Two principles for consistent prayer. This is really good, and this is really simple. Really simple. Two principles for consistent prayer. Very simple. Principle number one, you will never, here's your blank, find time for daily prayer. You must make time for daily prayer. There's your two words. Find and make. That's pretty simple, is it? You'll never find time. "I just don't have time for prayer." You'll never find time for prayer. You have to make time. Once that happens, you're on your way. If you're not willing to make time, if God's not a priority, then don't expect Him to put your prayers as a priority when you're crying out for Him in time of need. Your sins, listen, He says in Isaiah 59, your sins have separated between you and your God, and His face has He hid from you that He will not hear. Did you catch what He said? What makes God from hiding His face from us? What makes God not hearing us? Our sins. What is our sins? If you don't pray for each other, it's sin. Why should He hear your prayers if you're not praying to Him regularly? Principle number two. Something, this is really neat. Something happens. There's your next blank. Something happens when I pray that does not happen if I don't. Therefore, if I have not prayed today, something has gone, there's your next blank, undone in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom plans, there's your next blank, for my life and for the lives of those for whom I have been praying, your last blank. So you should have the word happens, the word undone, the word plans, and the word praying. Let me read that one again. That way, tomorrow, if you get up, you oversleep or whatever, you diddle-daddle and you don't have time for prayer because you haven't made it a habit and you haven't kept your fire out there of sacrifice burning, so you have nothing to take to the altar. If that happens, something happens when I pray that doesn't happen if I don't. That means if you go out and don't pray, something will not happen that day that should have happened because of your prayer. Therefore, if I have not prayed today, something has gone undone in God's kingdom plans for my life and for the lives of those whom I have been praying. We have the world prayer maps, and if I miss a day, I missed not just getting out and unfolding a map. I missed praying over these countries for that specific day with all of those multitudes of lost people that don't know Christ, that I'm praying according to Jesus had a prayer request. You don't ever hear Jesus giving prayer requests too often, but he gave one when he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, right? That's a prayer request. He's saying, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So when I don't, if I miss that day tomorrow, there are countries that I'm missing to pray for, and I'm not praying for those people. What happens? What does that, folks, don't take prayer so lightly. Eternity and the power of God is in that. Or else he would not be able to say, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Here's a voice from the past, J. Sidlow Baxter. I care not what bleak, perpetual crisis we may come through, or what delightful spiritual Cana we may enter. No blessing of the Christian life becomes continually possessed unless we are men and women of regular, daily, look at this, unhurried, secret lingerings in prayer. Wow. Men and women of regular, daily, unhurried, secret lingerings. I like that, in prayer. Principle number two, establish, there's your blank, a set time for developing consistency in daily prayer. So you have to make this commitment to be consistent, and once you have established that commitment, now establish a set time. When are you going to set your time aside to pray? In Psalm chapter 5 and verse 1, I'll start with verse 1. It has just verse 2 and 3. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. David set his time in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So it sounds like it's something he has done in the past, is doing that day. And Lord, in the morning you'll hear me. Every morning you're going to hear me. I'm going to set aside my time. That's a commitment. Andrew Murray says, those who have no set time for prayer do not pray. I would say, Andrew Murray, you're a little extreme on that. But I would be lying. You're absolutely right. Those who have no set time for prayer do not pray, plain and simple. Back to our keys. Key number three. First blank, develop a daily reminder to help you keep your prayer appointment. Develop a daily reminder to help you keep your prayer appointment. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord, your God. Pass over before the Lord, ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them. Folks, if you don't have any memorial stones set up, you're not going to have your children ask you any questions spiritually. Set up spiritual stones, memorials in your life, so that they can say, what is that? When we have the Lord's Supper, have your children sitting alongside you, and they can't partake of it unless they're saved and baptized. And they're going to watch you as they're doing it, and later down the road, they're going to say, why didn't we get any of that? What does that mean? And you'll be able to explain to them what communion's all about, the blood and body of Christ. It gives you opportunities. He says that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Do you have any memorial stones that your children or your grandchildren can ask you about? Jeremiah 2, verse 32 says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Now watch this. Yet my people have forgotten me. Look what it says. Days without number. That's a sad statement. Have you ever wondered, think about it, if you were to be Jeremiah, or we could even say, God, you said here in Jeremiah that there was a time that your people had forgotten you. And it's one thing that they've forgotten you, but you said that they had done it days without number. You quit counting. When was the last time you heard from them? Would we fall into that category? Would Jeremiah be talking about us today? Look what it says here. Post a small 3x5 card on your bathroom mirror. Don't forget your appointment today with Jesus. Do something to establish a reminder, so that you don't sin against the Lord, right? Key number 4. We have the time. You set up a time. Mine's right when I get up in the morning. And then you, now we're going to talk about a place. Number 4, designate your blank a specific place to meet God daily in prayer. Designate a specific place to meet God daily in prayer. So, we would say, if I was just to say, pick somebody out here, and I won't, but if I was to pick somebody and say, hey, what time of day do you set aside for God? You know, I pray all the time. No, I understand we pray without ceasing. What set time did you set aside just to be with God, uninterrupted, to kind of shut your door, if you would, to pray? And by the way, where's your prayer spot at? Anybody here have a prayer spot, a place that they meet with God regularly? Yeah, you should. If you don't, it's probably because you're not praying regularly. I'm trying to get us to understand what God's trying to get us to understand, that this is important to Him. I sacrificed my son for that, and that's... There's a passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Remember when the lady poured out the ointment? And they were talking about what a great waste that was. That could have been sold. It was like a year's wage of ointment being broken and poured on Jesus' feet. Later down the road in that text, Jesus makes mention, he that has been forgiven little, loveth little. He that has been forgiven much, loveth much. What? What do you mean? You mean some people only had a few sins and some had a lot of sins? Could be, but that's not what he's referring to. If you consider God's forgiveness for your sins as just little, you take it as, yeah, I got saved, he saved me, compared to Mary, who was breaking that ointment, who had 7 devils cast out of her. She understood the greatness of God's mercy and grace that he bestowed upon her. And because she understood how great her sin was that sent him to Calvary, she anointed his body before he went there with all of her life savings. And then you have others that were there listening, thinking, yeah, that could have been, you know, some of us, that's the value we put on Christ, very little. And it shows in our prayer time or the lack thereof. It may be much. Scripture, next page. Matthew 6, 6. Man, we're running out of time. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He's still talking about where's your place. Number 5, key 5, employ. Employ a plan for personal prayer that is balanced and complete. Employ a plan for personal prayer that is balanced and complete. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. And by the way, that phrase, all prayer, means in all manners of prayer. There are various ways of praying. Praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication. Look what it says, in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for most of the saints. For the saints that you like. For all the saints. So this one here, we're getting in this area of having this personal plan. I have my time now. Okay, y'all with me on this? We have our time. We set up a time. This is when I'm going to meet with God. I have my place. It might be right here on this chair in my recliner. It might be in a prayer closet. It might be on my couch. It might be at a desk. It doesn't matter where it is. It's where you're going to meet him at, because ultimately you're going to be in his presence. All right? So I have my time. I have my place. And now I have my plan. Now the plan is, should be not something that's chaotic, that's hit here, there, there, bing, 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 like a pinball. Employ a plan for personal prayer that is balanced and complete. So I thought I'd bring something in tonight, so I did. I brought in our prayer things that we have here at the church. We have our little, if you don't have one of these, you can get with Mrs. Timer. She'll get one designed for you, and you can have that. And the way it's set up, where I can come in here to this list, and give you an example, today, who would I have sinned? I would have sinned against the Lord if I did not pray today. Who would I have missed? First off, I would have missed the church as a whole, because I would have been praying that you all would have a fervent love for one another. Now, that would have been left undone. That's an important prayer request, is it not? But then I would have not been praying for Doyle and Diane Dunning. Do they need prayer right now? Sure do. I would have missed praying for them today. I would have sinned against the Lord and ceasing to pray for them. I would have not prayed for Bud and Peggy. I would not have prayed for Roz and Rusty. I would not have prayed for Don and Helen. And Helen knows that she takes all the prayers she can get.
I knew that was coming.
So did everybody else. And so these are the things. It's like even for mine, it said, pray for me to have fruit from labor. And I was reading the verse there. It says, what is our hope? Or I could put my name in there. Kevin, what is your hope or your joy, your crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, talking about the church here, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming, ye, for ye are our glory and joy. So you guys are my glory. You guys are my joy. You are my crown of rejoicing. And I put down here for myself, not the premises, and I like our premises, amen. That's not my crown of rejoicing. Wow, you guys really took that building and did a lot with it. It's not my crown of rejoicing. It's not the programs that we're doing. It's the people. Not premises, not programs, it's people. So I would have missed out on that. And then what else would I have missed out on? Not only on that, but then I would have opened up, because this always follows after I get done praying for that. And I take that back. This doesn't always follow up after that. I do this, and then I pray for my wife and I and for our family, siblings, children, grandchildren. Then I would have opened up this map, which these are available to. They've been available for a long time, and you maybe have one and never have used it yet. All right? Am I being mean or just exhorting? Today's the 29th, right? I would have missed praying for Indonesia, East Timor, Northern Mariana Islands, Guam, Palau, Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. I would have not gone to the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, I pray that you would rebuke all principalities and powers over these countries. And I pray that Satan would have the blinders he's placed on the unbelieving, according to 2 Corinthians 4, that you would remove those blinders so that the gospel light could shine unto them. I pray, Father, that you would send forth laborers to go to those people, give them courage, give them boldness, with family, friends, strangers, neighbors, co-workers, to share the gospel, whether it's literature or through preaching or testimony. And then, Father, I pray for those that hear the word, that it would get into their hearts by faith. You've already removed the blinders, opened up their hearts by faith. And they that gladly receive your word, I pray that they would be baptized, and then they would be discipled in the apostles' doctrine. They'd enjoy sweet fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers with the other saints, and that they too then would go out to their group and begin to reach people that nobody else would reach, and because it's their friends, family, and neighbors. And then I always pray, as it says here, for the peace of Jerusalem. And then I would finish off with my little book here. It's just a simple one, a selection of worship hymns. This is actually used just for communion services. Today's the 29th. I'm going to go ahead and read this. I know I'm almost out of time. Y'all believe in Paul's preaching at midnight? This is good stuff, though. Listen to this. I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. I'm going to read the words. Amidst us our beloved stands and bids us view his pierced hands, points to the wounded feet inside, blessed emblems of the crucified. What food luxurious loads the board when at his table sits the Lord? The wine, how rich, the bread, how sweet, when Jesus deigns the guest to meet, if now with eyes defiled and dim, we see the signs, but see not him. O may his love the scales displace, and bid us see him face to face. Thou glorious bridegroom of our hearts, thy present smile a heaven imparts. O lift the veil, if veil there be, let every saint thy glory see. I would have missed that too. Does that not speak to you, folks? How many of you ever heard that song before? It was written in the 1800s. You all, many of you would know who the writers are, but you don't ever find it in our hymn books. It was Charles Spurgeon and A.P. Gibbs who did this together. Folks, no wonder when you get into these times of things, and I have to battle these times to get into those, but no wonder we sing the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's a sweet time together with the Lord. Prayer, planning, suggestions, you can see all that stuff there. But look at key number 6 here. He says, organize your prayer tools and lists by keeping them in a convenient prayer packet. I just showed you that one there. So organize a prayer packet. Get your little binders. If you don't have one, get with Jesus. Get a little book. I used to have one of them little books that was really thin that had also the names of Jesus in it, names of God. I'd have one of those in there sometimes and use that. Key number seven. Everybody got all the blanks so far? Last one. Organize your prayer tools and list by keeping them in a convenient packet. Number 7. Fight, like fist fight, F-I-G-H-T. Fight all interruptions fiercely that might disrupt or hinder your times in prayer. That's why a closet might be a good place. And you could put, not just fight all interruptions, but distractions, anything that would do. I have to understand, I know that everybody's at different levels in their where they're at. When we had little children, you had to do different things. You have to get up before the children do, okay? So I have to remember that sacrificing of the temporal for the eternal. Susanna Wesley had how many children? 19 children. She always wore an apron. And she would always take her apron in her time of devotion time. She would take it and she'd be sitting down and put it, when she had prayer, she'd have it over her. And her children knew that when she had her apron over her head, you do not interrupt Mom. She's in her time with the Lord. And they respected and honored that. Folks, do something. Make the difference that your kids, if you've got kids still at home, that they'll see. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I hope he has not devoured your prayer life, your prayer time. You can repent and get that right. Watchman Nee says this. When you decide to practice a more abundant prayer life, Satan will start a new stratagem of making you busier, piling on your works, occupying your time with such needs that you have no opportunity to pray. The enemy will use matters such as duty, mission, and responsibility to create his best arguments for stopping our prayer. You see, We have a tendency to let our flesh justify. Well, I can't do that today. I'm running late. I need to get this done. Who all has not heard of Watchman Nee before? You never have heard of me before. Raise your hand. You've all heard of Watchman Nee before? Most of you, some of you haven't. Let me give you a little history. He died in 1972, not long ago, born in 1903. It says here he was a highly influential Chinese Christian leader, teacher, and author who established indigenous house churches known as the Little Flocks. He was arrested in 1952 by Chinese communist authorities. He spent 20 years in prison for refusing to abandon his faith, dying in a labor camp in 1972. Very deep. He wrote a book that was called The Normal Christian Life, based on the book of Romans. Wow. He had another one that was called The Assembly Life, and another one that was called Sit, Walk, and Stand. The Moravian 100-year... Folks, I'm going to run over, okay? Y'all understand it already, right? But this is really good stuff, and I want to finish this up here. The Moravian 100 Wall Project, a case study. This is documented information. Herrnhut, Saxony, which is modern Germany today, this is where it happened. It was called the Watch of the Lord. It was established in 1722 by a man by the name of Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. He was a very, very godly man. And in May 12, 1727, they had a revival. Now, the Watch of the Lord in 1722 was a group of people he gathered for prayer. They estimated that the beginning number was 300 people who came together with him for prayer. 5 years of praying continually kicked out a revival comes in May 12, 1727, 5 years later. He records this. The whole place represented truly a visible habitation of God among men. That means that God literally manifested himself, his presence. How would you like to see a manifestation of God in your presence? In August, there was a decision made 3 months later, on August 27, a covenant of 24 men and 24 women is entered into to sustain continuous prayer, nonstop. Remember, they started out with 300. They're down here to not quite 50 here. Decades later, an entry into the journal documenting the Moravian prayer movement reads, "The sacred fire was never permitted to go out on the altar in Leviticus chapter 6. So in a congregation which is the temple of the living God, wherever he has the altar and fire, the intercession of his saints should incessantly rise up to him." Now, out of this time of commitment, they had people praying 24 hours. Our home church would get things that would put a 24-hour, like from 12 a.m. to 1 a.m., 1 a.m. to 2 a.m., and they'd have a chart, and you could come and sign your name on it, and you would commit yourself to praying for that 1 hour, and you'd have 24-hour prayer clock going around. That's what these people were doing. Out of this prayer, continual prayer meeting, there came the revival. Out of that revival came the prayer movement that caused this thing to trigger to continually pray. Out of this prayer movement came the Moravian missions that went out into the world evangelizing, where the people that were coming out of that were going to people in tribal areas that were in slavery, and they were wanting to go in there with the gospel, and the masters and the owners were so vile, they would not allow them to come and preach the gospel to them. And so the young men would say, "We want to sell ourselves to you to be slaves." And they would give them pennies to buy them as slaves. And they gave their whole life into slavery so that they could work alongside the slaves and present the gospel to them. Folks, that is incredible sacrifice. That came out of people praying years and years and years. And then Jesus asked, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" We're going to call that good right there. You can read the other stuff. You can pray about it. and what God would have you to do at the bottom. We're out of time, over time, and I didn't mean to do that, but I wanted to finish this up. I don't know about you. I don't think that was wasted time, though. You know, who knows? God doesn't make mistakes. Maybe you're supposed to be driving down the road 10 minutes late from now, huh? And there's a purpose in it. Well, let's have a closing prayer, and then you can be on your way. Pray for each other. Establish a prayer place and time. If you need a prayer book, get with Althea. Father, add your blessing now on this lesson. Stir us, Lord. Do something. Help us not to be people that have forgotten you for days unnumbered. In Jesus' name, amen.